Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
You're making ice jiggle. And you didn't point. Thank you. And I'm Krista.
Oh, geez. Just terrible. Okay.
Okay, now we know who I am because you did the pointing properly.
Good.
Because otherwise, just who knows what would happen.
Probably nothing.
Oh, okay. Happy awards season, Brandon. Movie awards season. Yeah.
Well, it's the end of it, actually.
Yes, yes. Happy culmination.
It's over now.
Yes.
It's been award season for a while.
Yes.
But it's
happy end of. Culmination of.
It's over.
Dun, dun, dun. Also, we're back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I probably still sound sick.
You.
And a little sniffly.
You are.
Yeah, but we were sick. We were gone.
Your much vaunted teacher immune system has been defeated.
It failed me. We were gone. We were in Disney, and then we came back, and we were both sick, and I'm still sick, but I have a voice today, so we're recording.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, what are you drinking?
Well, it's like fall spring here.
Yeah.
So I am drinking delicious gin and water.
Yeah, yeah, because we were outside.
It's very springy. It's a spring-flavored gin of some kind. I don't know.
Yeah, from like a local distillery.
Yeah.
I am not drinking from a local distillery, but I'm also having gin, but I'm drinking with peach bubbly, which is like a standard thing that I drink a lot on here.
That is delicious, yes.
And do you have a nerd thing this week?
Well, a couple things, I guess. The new World of Warcraft patch is out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a new area to play in and a new raid's coming next week, and
ooh,
that's exciting.
Yeah.
And then we just had the Four Nations hockey tournament. Go Canada.
Go Canada.
But NHL's back and it's the trade deadline already.
Yeah.
So it's like, hockey.
hockey. Yeah. We were listening to a hockey podcast today and they were saying how it snuck up because everyone was so focused on the Four Nations thing. And it was like, oh.
And interestingly, that podcast also talked about the Oscars.
Oh, that's true. It did.
Yeah, kind of random. But anyway,
that's true. My nerd thing is I had teachers' convention, and that's probably why I got extra sick, because I was up late. And then also, it is March, which means it's officially Disney-bound month.
Hooray!
Yeah, it's like there's a delay on there.
I don't know. What did you Disney bound as today? Sick lump?
Yeah, it's a sick lump today. Well, actually, this works. Today's prompt was Winnie the Pooh and Friends.
Oh, you were all sad and depressed like Eeyore and you're wearing gray.
Yeah, I'm wearing gray. It totally works.
I was just
going
to make an Eeyore joke. You figured
it
out before
worked.
I did.
This year it's the official site is only doing the first 15 days, and then the challenge is to like choose your own prompt for the rest of the days, although there are other ones that have stepped in and said if you want to follow a specific one, here's a list. So yeah,
some people like being told what to do.
Yeah, like I like the prompts for the first 15 days. So that's my nerd thing, is I'm excited for that. I have my first few like prompts kind of, well, I don't know about planned, but at least brainstormed. Yeah. And then there was a Disney Dreamlight Valley update this last week as well. And although I was sick and couldn't really, really enjoy it, I have been playing it a bit. And yeah, it's fun. I now have Aladdin and Jasmine in my valley.
Wow. It's like a whole new world.
It is like a whole new world. Boo. And also, we have a brand new show starting this week. Daredevil Born Again starts on Tuesday.
Woohoo!
So we'll be able to start talking about those episodes soon.
I'm very excited. And then there is also a new Marvel movie in theaters since last we talked.
That's true.
And we actually did go see it in amongst all of our
Oscar watching.
Just furious Oscar watching.
It's true. Yes, we watched Captain America Brave New World.
Yeah.
Spoiler-free gut reaction, Brandon. What did you think?
It was nice having some Hulky type action again.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine.
Yeah. I thought it was
Anthony Mackie's awesome. And
yes, I do like him.
He needs to stick around and keep doing
stuff. I do like him too.
He's really good.
Yeah.
And I thought Harrison Ford actually did a pretty good job.
I thought so too. I wasn't too sure
how
that was gonna go, but I was like, oh yeah, dude still got it. Like, still got the acting chops, and he got to have some fun with this one. Yeah. I think. Yeah. I liked it. I think it was solid. It is not one that I'm gonna be like, this is my favorite, I'm gonna rewatch it, but it was entertaining. Yeah. And I enjoyed it.
It's probably in the bottom third of Marvel movies, but
near not the bottom five.
Near the top of the bottom third.
I'd say that's probably, yeah. I might even put it in the bottom half instead of the bottom third.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. But yeah, it's still fun, still worth watching, I think, if you're a Marvel fan. And you got a cool sipper to go with it.
From Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah.
California Adventure. Actually.
Well, yeah, Disneyland Resort. Let's head to the news. Disney A News Update. Speaking of Star Wars, we also have a Andor Season 2 trailer.
We do?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what did you think of this?
One of the strangest trailers I've ever seen.
Right?
I don't know. They were really going all in on the fact that Andor season one was very, very high quality and critically well received, mm-hmm. which was fine. There was some of the editing was good, but I don't know. It felt strange to me.
Yeah, I said that's weird right after we watched it. I don't think I dislike it. It's just weird.
I'm still very excited
for
it, but... I will be looking forward to the second trailer that's hopefully more traditional in nature.
Yeah, shows us a little bit more. Okay, so other news, we have Food and Wine has officially started at DCA. Food and Wine goes on for 2 months. We can talk about it later.
That's true. And we don't care anymore because we're not going there.
Lightning Lane Premier Pass is now sold up to 7 days in advance of reservations. This is more in line with what they do with Disney World. Before that, you couldn't do it that far in advance. So they are saying about how popular it is.
That's the $400 one?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
It would be a way, you wouldn't have to go multiple days then. Mm-hmm. That would be the trade-off.
Exactly.
Instead of getting a 5-day park hopper, get a 1-day park hopper.
And do the thing,
and then you do it all in 1 day, and then you save yourself time. And your feet, I guess. Actually, you know what? This is sounding better all the time. My feet are still sore, I'm not gonna lie. I'm getting too old for this.
We do go hard, though. I tell people,
ridiculous.
That's insane.
We abuse ourselves.
Yeah.
It's not... We're not going to be able to do that for too much longer. Getting too old for that.
We even said last time, we're like, next time we do this, we have to work in, full-on rest days.
Yeah, rest days or, a mobility scooter or something. I don't know.
Putt-Putt has now opened at Pixar Place. Remember how before I said it was delayed? It's now there. It's open.
And you can now putt.
You can.
And also putt.
Disneyland Railroad Tours. This is exciting.
Yeah. It is exciting.
So starting February 27th, which is past now, you can do a Disneyland Railroad guided tour.
It's a mini VIP tour focused on the railroad.
Yeah, so you ride in the Lily Bell.
Of course.
And there is a little sweet treat that you get. You listen to stories about where the idea behind Walt's train creations first started and how that connected to then building Disneyland. He literally had a train in his backyard. You can also go to the Disneyland Park, or you can also learn about the Disneyland Park Roundhouse. And this is where trains are kept overnight and cared for. You learn about the building, the Imagineers. You learn about the Disneyland monorail as part of this as well. And then so it's like a guided tour. Then you ride through the whole thing in the Lily Bell, of course.
Yeah, you said that already.
And you meet a train engineer.
Yeah,
you get a little keepsake.
You get a tour guide, and they walk you around and talk you about the history of trains and stuff, and ride in a little
bit. Super cool.
It's 90 minutes long, and apparently about US dollars.
Which is about what I would expect for something like this, honestly, looking at other Disneyland prices.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, it's cheaper than a lightsaber, I guess.
Yeah.
You got your Disney fanatics that would pay $150 just to go on the Lily Bell, probably.
Probably, let alone all the other stuff. Yeah. I would be very willing to pay to do this.
It's very Disneyland.
Yeah, I really like it. And it has to be Disneyland.
Yeah, you wouldn't do this in Disney World.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they do actually have, a tour of the Roundhouse in Disney World and stuff.
It's not the same.
No, it wouldn't. It doesn't have the history.
Exactly.
Okay.
And finally, we have some sad news in the world.
Not finally, but yeah.
Well, and then we have some sad news in the world of, pop culture stuff.
I have other news.
Okay. All right. Gene Hackman has died. It was with his wife and dog, too, right?
Yeah, something weird. Apparently he was pretty reclusive and had it took a while to discover them.
Oh, no.
But who knows why
the
whole household died. They were originally thinking a gas leak or something, but apparently that's not it. I don't know. Kind of weird one, actually.
Yeah, that'll be...
He was super old, but his wife was much younger, so...
I noticed that in the pictures. Yeah. I was like, oh. Yeah. And then one that is pretty sad. Michelle Trachtenberg has died as well. She was 39, and you said it was liver failure?
Yeah, she had... apparently had a liver transplant recently, and I guess it didn't work.
And that was surprising because of how young she was, of course, and very sad. We are fond of a lot of shows and movies and stuff where she was a big feature, so.
Yeah, namely for nerdy stuff, it would be
Buffy,
of course.
Yes, I was just talking about Buffy
a couple episodes
ago.
But I'm a big fan of Eurotrip.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. That's pretty sad. So that was it for my news. You said that you had some news, though.
Yeah, actually, really, really big news.
How do I not know this?
For Lucasfilm.
Oh, okay. I'm ready.
It has been announced that Kathleen Kennedy, the longtime executive producer that was basically the Kevin Feige of Lucasfilm, is stepping down at the end of the year.
Really?
And she's been kind of the target of ire from a lot of fanboys over the Disney tenure. She's been there since before it was sold to Disney.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, she's been kind of part of it from the beginning, and she was installed by Lucas to be the executive producer and stuff like that. So whatever. But you do hear people going, rah, 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 she's doing all this dumb stuff.
Right. And I know she was, her name was brought up a lot during the whole Chapek saga.
Yeah, she was kind of on the chopping block then almost. But, she's been around a long time. She's probably just retired. It's not they're getting rid of her tomorrow. She's not, fired. She's no, I'm stepping down at the end of the year. And going to, help groom the successor.
So, which is months from now. So, very clearly retiring.
It was, basically a whole year.
Pretty close, yeah.
So you got, it's kind of a succession planning thing, which is...
probably good.
Actually kind of unusual for a studio head, right? some of the names being thrown out are Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni.
Interesting.
And also possibly Kevin Feige.
Oh my God. I feel like he's busy.
Switching hats.
Oh.
Maybe.
Taking off the black one, putting on a blue one, or what?
Yeah.
You know what? That's interesting. And, I can see that. That's really cool.
Marvel's been around, and he's been had his hands in that for a long time, and he's always really liked Star Wars.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
And I feel like he could be happy sailing off into the sunset as far as Marvel goes after Fantastic Four comes out anyway, because that was always kind of his dream project.
Oh, you don't think
he'd
want to stick around for Doomsday?
Yeah, I don't know. That's already kind of plotted as well.
Right.
He hired the Russos back and stuff, so he's put his mark on that one already,
interesting.
Too.
Interesting. Well, then
I don't know, that
would open up questions for Marvel then, right?
It would.
Oh, very interesting.
Filoni
and Favreau would also be
Yeah.
Obviously very, yeah.
I'd like to see Favreau in that role. Yeah. I think Filoni needs to be more on the creative side, not the executive side.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like Favreau would do a good job in that role?
I think so.
Yeah. He'd know like what things to green light and what things to thumbs up and thumbs down and mess with a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's super. I'm going to be very interested to see what happens with this.
More likely going to be just someone we've never heard of before.
Which is unfortunate. Yeah.
Well, whatever. As long as
they're good. Yeah.
As long as they do good work, I guess. But that was really, really big news. So.
Okay. So I had heard, I keep hearing rumors though, so I probably just didn't pay them any mind about her going, but I've been hearing that since before Chapek left.
This is
right?
Like official.
Okay. So I'm going to be very interested to hear the next steps then for Star Wars. Yeah. Any other news? It's big stuff.
That's
really big news.
That was the big one. What's in the bag?
It's not a head, it's just content.
Oh.
Disney A grab bag. Okay, so it is Oscar time. Well, actually, when this comes out, the Oscars will have happened last night, so congratulations, winners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your favorite, The Brutalist, cleaned up.
I really hope not. It actually wasn't that bad.
That's the one I'm picking on this year. It's just really long. It's really long.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about all 10 best picture nominees at the end of this.
Yes. First.
Briefly.
Yep. So what we're going to do is because I listened to our previous, this is the fourth year we have done the official Disney A Oscars.
My goodness, we're old.
That we did not do it the first year. We've been doing this for 5 years now.
Well, we started in after the Oscars.
Yes,
the year,
but they did a delayed Oscars the first year because it was COVID.
Oh, that's
stuff,
right. They had the weird COVID Oscars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they do that in 2020 or was that 2021?
Because
the Oscars in 2020 happened before everything shut down because it was
okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that we had four Oscar. We've had four Oscars.
Well, it is 2025.
And of those, so this would be our fifth one. But of those five ones, four of them were what we're doing now, where we do picking winners and stuff like that. The first one we just talked about stuff.
Cool.
So kind of what I'm going to do is I'm going to run through everything that is nominated from the Disney company. Then we're going to do our Oscars, and then we're going to talk about the best pictures.
Not a whole lot for Disney this year, I don't think.
Like I was just saying, we've done this a lot. I think last year there were 28. This year, 15.
Hmm.
So you're right. The biggest one is A Complete Unknown, which is by Searchlight.
Okay.
8 nominations.
Okay, I guess.
I said Walt Disney Company.
I guess Disney does own
Searchlight.
Formerly Fox Searchlight, which does Oscar bait movies, so okay.
Yeah. So A Complete Unknown is nominated for 8 categories, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Costume Design, and Best Sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to win any of those?
I
maybe sound?
Don't think it is.
Yeah, okay.
I think the one it has the best chance at is best actor.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to win
right,
that. So.
Yeah. A Real Pain has 2 nominations, and that has supporting actor and original screenplay. And what did you think of that?
This will win one.
This you think is going to win supporting actor?
Yes, yeah, supporting actor is like the lock of the century.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of curious to see this one.
Yeah, this is one we haven't watched because we watched all the best picture nominees.
Yes.
Yeah,
we can't watch everything.
But what's interesting is this is nominated for original screenplay. So, Alien Romulus has 1 nomination for visual effects, which makes sense. Elton John, Never Too Late. Has 1 nomination for Best Original Song, which is Never Too Late. Inside Out 2 has 1 nomination for Best Animated Feature Film. Do you think it's going to win?
I don't think so.
I think Wild Robot's going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. K-2 Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I don't even think it's in second place. I think really? I think Flow is and I don't even know what that is, but neither. Yeah.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes has one nomination, which is Best Visual Effects.
Yeah, okay.
Sugar Cane is a National Geographic documentary, has one nomination for documentary feature.
Whew. Yeah, that's it. Not a whole heck of a lot.
That, you know, I really liked Inside Out too.
It was good, but it's not gonna. I don't think it's gonna win.
I get it. Okay, so are you ready for? Are you ready to be judgy?
Oh, always.
Okay, so we have 23 categories because there are 23 categories in the Oscars. I had 24, and you corrected me that.
There used to be 24.
Yes.
But they have merged sound. Yes. There's no longer sound mixing and sound editing.
Mm-hmm.
I am sorry, all you sound geeks out there.
Yes. Who, we know it's not the same thing.
Would get angry, but no one actually cares. Best sound, it makes more sense. I actually agree with it. I don't care.
All right, here we go.
Both teams can win the Oscar. Yes. Like they can share the Oscar. Right. There you go.
Okay, here we go. So we've had... Category number one, we've had before, but we had completely different nominees for it.
And I should hope so. It's a different year.
Yeah.
Can't get re-nominated.
That'd be weird. And that is the best death by falling by an animated Disney character. In case you were wondering, there are more than 11. So we did 5 one year. Now we have another 5.
Okay.
And the nominees are Mufasa from The Lion King, Professor Radigan from The Great Mouse Detective, Charles Muntz from Up, Clayton from Tarzan, when he, like, hangs himself as he's falling, Percival C. McLeach from The Rescuers Down Under.
They
really make everyone fall.
Death by Falling in animated films is very, very popular because it's a way to show that they're super dead without, like, actually showing anything.
Exactly. Even the one with Clayton, which is probably the harshest one here, it's, like, the shadow of him hanging himself in the vines.
Yeah. I think it has to be Mufasa, though, right? Like, it's very dramatic.
It is very dramatic, yeah. It's pretty dramatic. So, category number two. The best villain sidekick group. It's either, so like a pair of villain sidekicks or a group of villain sidekicks in a Disney animated feature.
Okay.
Pain and Panic from Hercules. Okay. Flotsam and Jetsam from Little Mermaid.
Those are the first two that come to mind.
Jasper and Horace from 101 Dalmatians.
Okay, yeah.
The Three Hyenas from Lion King.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Anastasia and Drusilla, who are the evil stepsisters from Cinderella.
They're really good as characters in Disneyland.
That's true, they are.
But they wouldn't be in their own film. They're kind of just annoying.
Meh.
I think it's probably Flotsam and Jetsam because they're just super creepy.
Yeah, eels.
The hyenas are okay, but they kind of get on my nerves sometimes.
That's
fair.
Not Pain and Panic?
No.
No? Okay. Yeah. I'd probably pick Flotsam and Jetsam too, but she's my favorite villain, so like I feel like that's cheating.
And I just like Moray eels, so they're kind of cool. Are they electric eels, I suppose? I don't know.
I don't know if they are.
They're creepy eels.
And they kind of like use their eyes to spy to Ursula. Like they're enchanted too, so very cool. Okay, best moment from a Star Wars Disney Plus show. Luther Rayl's monologue and from Andor, I burn my life to make a sunrise I know I'll never see. Ahsoka from Rebels, Twilight of the Apprentice, her line, I am no Jedi. The first reveal of Grogu, or who was just known as the child at the time, from Mandalorian Season 1. One Way Out, the call to arms from Andor.
Andor's cleaning up.
It is cleaning up.
It is so the closest to Oscar bait as far as the Star Wars Disney Plus show goes. So, yeah.
From Skeleton Crew, Neil just wants to go home.
Well, it is the Oscars. I like, culturally significant, it's Grogu.
Yeah. or Ahsoka, who is no Jedi.
No, it's Grogu.
As I lean against my Grogu pillow here.
Like, okay, we'll say this. The Andor ones split the vote, and Grogu wins.
Okay, all right. Literally, that first appearance, though, I think everyone gasped watching it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It is the most culturally significant. Everybody knows Baby Yoda, I guess.
Yeah, it's true.
This is the way you can say it.
I will give it to you for Andor splitting the vote, because that does happen.
Both of those moments in Andor are like...
Best offering at Disneyland for the upcoming 70th anniversary. Paint the Night Nighttime Parade. Wondrous Journeys Fireworks Show. Walt Disney A Magical Life, featured at Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. The New World of Color Show called Happiness. Or the new Fab Five Outfits.
Well, none of this has happened yet. So
projected. That's projected offering.
That's a tough one. Mm-hmm. I think you have to... For ambition, you have to give it to the Walt animatronic.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, they're bringing back a parade that's been there before. Mm-hmm. There's fireworks. There's character.
But Walt Disney's actually going to show up in his park.
That's, I don't know.
It would make me want to go to it, honestly.
Well, I've never seen the Lincoln one, so.
It's actually really impressive.
Yeah.
It's weird, but
fairly
impressive.
Especially considering how old it is, right? Like,
Yeah. Speaking of Disneyland, best Disneyland bathroom.
Ooh.
Not Disneyland Resort. I actually had two. That was the one I took away. I had Disneyland Resort. It was broken up into two.
Mm.
So we have the Fantasyland King and Queen bathrooms by Alice in Wonderland.
Pretty solid.
Yep. The Galaxy's Edge ones in the center there.
Mm-hmm.
Hungry Bear on the lower level. Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer's Island. Mm. Or the Adventureland entrance by Tiki Room. You may want to consider theming, availability, ease of access.
Yeah, the Star Wars ones are the best themed.
Mm-hmm.
The ones on Tom Sawyer's Island are probably the best ones if you have to go take a poo.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're very private and
out
in the middle of nowhere. Yep. And then with a runner-up for that being the Prince and Princess, the King and Queen ones by the theater, because it's kind of a dead end there, especially when there's no theater going on. And the restaurant, the Troubadour Tavern, doesn't open till like 11 or something like that. So it's pretty dead over there for quite a while in the morning. But anyway, there's a lot of good bathrooms in Disney.
Yeah, my favorite didn't even make this list. Do you know what my favorite is? Not necessarily to like go in, but I like pointing at it, is the one by... Red Rose Tavern, where the side, the building changes.
Yeah.
Because it morphs from Fantasyland texture on the wall into Frontierland.
And the one we go to the most, I feel, didn't make the list either because it's not a very good bathroom.
It's just there.
The Adventureland one. I think we go to that one the most.
No, that's on the list.
Oh,
Adventureland entrance by Tiki Room.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that one we go to the most. I don't really like it, though.
No, it's just that's why convenient. I said I considered ease of access
for this
one, yeah.
No, it's the Star Wars one.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's the most themed and pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. And then if you have to wait out there, you get to see the cool water fountain with the, like, I don't know what the creature's called.
Well, because there's two. So
oh, yes, that's at the other one.
You were talking about the central
one.
Yes,
I was talking about the central one. I even said central one.
Mm-hmm.
Best festival at Disneyland. The Festival of the Holidays, DCA Food and Wine, Pixar Fest, or Lunar New Year?
It's Food and Wine.
Yeah.
I liked Pixar Fest a lot more than a lot of Disney fans, apparently.
It's true. I really liked it,
too. I quite enjoyed it. I would say it was too long.
Yeah.
Maybe outstayed its welcome, but like the offerings were very good.
Yes. I agree. On both of those accounts.
We've tried them all now, though.
It's true. And my favorite is also Food and Wine.
Yeah. It has the most, and it's...
And even though it's there as long as Pixar Fest, I think, but it's there. It has more, so it doesn't feel like... It feels like it fits better, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really amps up the energy in DCA.
Oh,
like,
yes.
It feels like a festival.
Yeah.
Where the other ones just kind of feel like there's extra food boost.
Right. Which is fine, don't get us wrong.
Although Lunar New Year felt like a mini festival.
Yes.
Like, they had and we were there right at the tail end of it. So, like, I feel like if you were there during actual...
Like, the height of it.
The height of lunar, actual Lunar New Year, you would, it would be pretty, pretty poppin'.
Yeah, I think so.
As the kids say.
Yo.
I'm pretty sure they
pretty
say
sure
that.
Pretty sure they do. best secondary characters in the MCU. So this isn't necessarily from one film, just like any appearance.
Okay.
Lewis?
That was the first one that came to my mind. I just made a Lewis reference today in unrelated to anything that we were talking about.
That's true. You did. Jimmy Woo.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep. Darcy Lewis. Happy Hogan. And Cork.
Hmm. They're all pretty good. Some are probably more popular than others. But I'm gonna stick with Lewis. I think his moments in the first two Ant-Man movies are hilarious, and the third Ant-Man movie suffered for
not having him. I agree. Mm. Mm-hmm. He's like beloved. I like him. I'd probably go Happy just because he's the most important of these ones. But like I don't know. I was looking at a list from there, and they put Wong on there, and I'm like, I don't know if you could even call him a secondary character anymore.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, well, then these guys might be tertiary characters.
And, like, you're big snub from the lifetime achievement of Agent Coulson.
Oh, there's something else with him on this list.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's a true story. Speaking of MCU, best after-credits MCU scene. Meet the Maximoff twins from Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Spider-Man Far From Home when Nick and Maria are revealed as Skrulls. Shang-Chi and Katie meet Wong, Bruce Banner, and Carol Danvers in Shang-Chi. The Avengers go out for shawarma. Or Yelena encountering Valentina after the Black Widow.
Ah, so these are all like more recent ones.
Yes. Yeah.
Except for shawarma. None of my favorite.
So I've had this category before.
Oh, okay.
With like the really heavy hitters. Yeah, the heavy hitters. Do you want to know what you picked that time? Nick Fury showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the original one, and then like
Thanos.
The first Thanos appearance or when he puts on the gauntlet.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are like your.
Yeah, those ones were on the first list. These are. Well, I was trying to do more recent ones, and then shawarma was just so random. I was like, oh, I'll put that in there.
And I think you have to give it to shawarma just for.
It's a thing now. Yeah.
And, well, you got shawarma carts in
you
DCA.
Do. Two of
just,
them.
Just because of that.
Yeah, it's great. A good theming on there, too. Mm-hmm. Best dance in a Disney animated film. Cinderella, So This Is Love. The dress color-changing scene at the end of Sleeping Beauty. Belle and the Beast, Tale as Old as Time. Eric and Ariel dancing on their date in the town. That's when she still can't speak and he doesn't know her name.
How romantic.
Oh, yes. Snow White and the dwarves doing the silly song, the dwarves yodel song.
This one's pretty easy, and you have to give it to Beauty and the Beast, the only animated film to be nominated for Best Picture.
It's true. Well, when it was only
when
five.
When it was five.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Real. Real anim.
Totally.
Real nomination.
Totally, and that's because it is the best. Despite what you say, it's not toxic.
Their relationship is quite toxic. He's definitely going to beat her one day.
No, he is not. Going back to the MCU, the most rewatchable fight scene in an MCU movie.
Ooh.
The Guardians hallway fight from Guardians 3. Iron Man versus Captain America and Bucky in Civil War. Mm. Keeping with Civil War, we have the airport fight scene. Spider-Men versus the multiverse villains on the Statue of Liberty in No Way Home, or Captain America's elevator fight scene in Winter Soldier.
The elevator fight scene is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's so good.
Really, really good. Yeah. And then the finale fight with Iron Man versus Cap versus Bucky. Ugh. Is really, really, like, visceral, and there's a lot of emotion going on there. But, no, it's the elevator one. And that's, like, it's a meme at this point.
Yeah, it
like,
is. Yeah. It's a moment.
Yeah. Like, you're probably your most rewatchable scene in an MCU movie wouldn't be a fight scene. It would be like an intro to a fight scene, like a portal scene in Endgame. Right. Like,
I totally agree. That shows up frequently for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
in the middle
of
a battle.
But it's not a fight scene, so it wouldn't qualify. Okay. So
I see a lot of during the battle when in Endgame, when Scarlet Witch, because of course I like my algorithm is much more geared to that, and he's like, I don't even know who you are, and she's like, you will. Like, oh, see, like stuff like that. Best Marvel villain death: Cassandra Nova from Deadpool and Wolverine, Hela from Ragnarok, Killmonger from Black Panther, Gore the God Butcher from Thor Love and Thunder, and Ego from Guardians Volume 2. And all of these ones were killed in one movie. Killed and introduced in the same movie.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe they've learned. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm still not 100% convinced that Hela's dead. And her death was, like, her final scene was very cool. So I'm going to give it to that one.
That's probably who I'd pick, too, honestly. Plus, Hela's just cool.
Yeah.
Hela is hella cool.
Hella cool.
Hella cool. Most frustrating MCU death: Quicksilver from Age of Ultron, Coulson from the Avengers, Gamora from Infinity War, or not from, like, that's when they died, Maria Hill from Secret Invasion, MODOK from Ant-Man Quantumania.
I'm going to go with the title of the category as written, and I'm going to go with Maria Hill in Secret Wars, because what a waste.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
I'm getting frustrated right now. Okay, there you go.
Which one was the best one of those? I know what I'd say.
Well,
yeah, I'll go back here.
I mean, Coulson was really good in the first Avengers movie. Like, it worked really well.
And then, I think it was an important death.
Gamora was an important
death,
but it was also kind of undone by bringing her back in the next movie. Not the same character, so but whatever.
Yeah, I think Coulson was very important, so yeah. Best Disneyland Easter egg. So this is around the park. Country Bear Jamboree, when you have Max, Buff, and Melvin, the bus in the Winnie Pooh ride.
Yeah.
Turn around. From Country Bear Jamboree. Captain Rex in the queue in Star Tours when he starts, like, randomly talking about his programming.
That's a good one.
New Orleans Square train station, when it's open, it plays the Morse code of Walt Disney's opening day speech. Jingles on the King Arthur Carousel. That was for Julie Andrews. Or the Leprechaun for Patrick Begora near Indiana Jones, who was known as the Little Man of Disneyland.
I like those. There's a lot.
There's so many.
Really cool Easter eggs.
These ones were some of my favorites.
I will say it's probably Captain Rex for me. But the other ones are good, too.
Yeah, I like them all. I do like... Captain Rex makes me giggle every time.
Mm-hmm. The Morse code, like, I like the, like, really inside baseball ones like that. Like, you have... Someone has to tell you, or you're not gonna...
Yeah. You just hear Morse code, and you're like, oh, yeah, because it's a tracer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is his opening to all who come to this happy place. Welcome. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. That's actually my favorite. Best dog in a Disney animated movie: Pongo from 101 Dalmatians, Toby from The Great Mouse Detective, Nana in Peter Pan, Bruno in Cinderella, Copper from Fox and the Hound.
Oh, none of these are actually my favorite animated dog.
Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite animated dog?
Oh, it's probably Doug, which is Pixar.
Yeah,
obviously,
so I did have that one, and then I had like Bolt, which is Disney. But I was like, no, let's go classic.
Classic. I got a soft spot in my heart for Copper.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I kind of thought you were gonna go Toby.
Yeah. No, Toby's good too, but
Copper's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Mm.
That's a sad one too.
It is.
Best cat in a Disney animated movie: The Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland, Oliver from Oliver and Company, the Three Kittens from the Aristocats, Raja from Aladdin, or Bagheera from Jungle Book.
Ooh.
Big cats count because they just went inside.
Yeah. Yes, you didn't domesticate cats.
Yeah.
I think I have to go with Bagheera, actually.
Oh.
Which is kind of, that's, probably surprise,
yeah,
you.
That does,
eh?
Surprise me.
Yeah. And I'm not entirely convinced the Cheshire cat is actually a cat.
That's fair.
Cat-ish. He's really cool, but I think he's like some sort of malevolent spirit that presents himself as a cat.
Right.
No, wait. I'm just describing a cat.
Yeah. I feel like you're being really redundant right now.
But Bagheera, no, okay. I like Bagheera.
I always liked Bagheera's, but yeah, that one does surprise me. Yeah.
And I like Raja too.
Yeah. Right.
I like the big
and Oliver are, and
Oliver's fine. I don't know. And I don't know. Aristocats. Yeah.
Oh, I like them. The problem with that one is it would split the vote because Duchess is also really great and Thomas O'Malley is the best. Best Star Wars battle. Battle of Scarif. Battle of Yavin.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, I know. It's how you know time. I know this. Battle of Hoth. Battle of Endor. Or the Second Battle of Geonosis.
Note that all three original trilogy films are represented.
Yes. Yes.
And yes, the Battle of Yavin is BBY,
yes,
which is used as a denotation of time when you're talking about the chronology of Star Wars. So it has to be that.
So are you saying
the trench run is unmatched?
Okay, all right, I give it. I was like, is it the most important or is it the best? But yeah, the trench run is. Yeah, okay, all right.
Hoth is very cool too.
Yes. I like Hoth because it's just, especially for the original trilogy, it's just like bizarre and it's cool. It's very Star Warsy to me. Best Disneyland ride music. So just on the ride.
Okay.
Space Mountain, Indiana Jones, Tiana Splash Mountain, Haunted Mansion, or Pirates of the Caribbean.
I really like the Space Mountain music.
Yep.
It hits pretty good, especially if you get a successful rope drop and you're in the front of the car and the first thing in the morning. It's pretty good. Tiana's Splash Mountain has some good tunes from the movie. That finale song sinks this one to the bottom of the ocean.
I totally agree. Because the good music was already in the movie. It's not like the ride.
Yeah. And John Williams is great. Like, you got your Indiana Jones music blaring. That's pretty cool. Yeah. But
it's the one we sing along with, actually.
As I'm being thrown about in the car. But no, it's Pirates.
Yeah, that's probably the correct answer.
It's Pirates.
Yeah. I love Haunted Mansion, too.
You didn't try to sneak Small World in there?
I honestly had it on originally.
Was that on, I forget, was that on your list of things that are coming for the 70th anniversary?
No,
The
new
verse of Small World?
No, I should have put that on there, though. Best DCA ride music, Soarin', Guardians Mission Breakout, Luigi's, The Silly Symphony Swings, or the Incredicoaster. I know.
So, it's interesting because three of these are like jukebox style.
Yeah.
Well.
Two and a half.
Like, Silly Symphony, it's the same song every time.
Yeah.
But it is from some, like, whatever. Yeah. Soarin music is unique to it, and like they play it elsewhere in the park, and it actually works.
You're like, oh, it's Soarin'.
So it gets points for originality, but it loses points because it's not the best ride.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
But it is, like, the music for it is really good. I will tell you, Incredicoaster, I think the music for Incredicoaster is not as good as it was for California Screamin'.
And I don't remember what the music was for California
Screamin'. Oh, I have it
Screamin'.
On a CD. I'll play it for you.
I don't remember. I do know that the music and like voice bits are very important, because if you ride that ride and the speakers aren't working on your train,
it's jarring.
It it doesn't work as good. No, it's not really as fun a ride.
Nope. Totally agree.
But I just really like Guardians.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that music gets you going.
Oh yeah.
Even though it's just 80s rock songs, yep. But I don't care.
Yeah, I love it. Best in general Disney Parks merch. Pins, popcorn buckets or sippers, lounge flies, spirit jerseys, or ears. Can I have all of the above? Mm. Oh, wait, I do have all of the above.
Best in what way?
Like, if you were only coming home with one piece of merch, which is the most iconic? Iconic would be the good word there.
Well, if you're going iconic, it has to be ears.
Fair enough.
Lounge flies are swiftly becoming iconic.
Yep.
I noticed this last trip that spirit jerseys weren't nearly as popular.
I know. I wonder if it was like just the time of year or something. Like
the soft Americans couldn't handle wearing a spirit jersey when it was 20 degrees.
Yeah, apparently.
It's too cold.
It's too cold. Need full hoodies.
Yeah.
Since we've come back, they've released two spirit jerseys that I saw the pictures of, and I was like, that's probably good that those weren't there when we were there. I'd want them.
Yeah.
One was attractions, and one was like Disney princesses.
But I've noticed that they've made a hard right turn to Disney-themed sports jerseys.
Yes.
Baseball jerseys, mm-hmm. And a hockey jersey.
Yes,
and
that was really cool.
And those were very popular.
Yes, I kind of wanted to buy you the hockey jersey.
Yeah.
It was spendy.
And popcorn buckets are taking the world by storm.
Yes.
Not only at Disney, which has been for a long time, mm-hmm. but at movie theaters now. You like any big movie release now has to have a popcorn bucket.
Oh, yeah, they showed what they were going to be doing for the Snow White one, even.
Mm.
And pins, of course, you even have pin trading.
Pin
collecting.
Pins
trading.
Are pretty cool. We got some cool pins.
We did.
On
we
our
got
trip,
some great Indiana Jones ones,
yeah.
Especially. Yeah. And others, but those ones were for the anniversary, so.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, later. So, but you're going to go ears. If you're only picking
one. Well, you
one,
said if
iconic. Yep.
Yeah, it's
yep.
ears.
Okay, I get it. Totally.
It's very,
I like
very specific
all of these. Yes.
To Disneyland.
Yes.
And Disney parks. Like,
yes.
You would. You buy ears there, you wear them there, and they are completely 100% useless anywhere else
They're
in the world.
They're collectible, and I hang them up on the wall.
Right.
Best Star Wars droid not from the Skywalker films.
Okay.
So basically, we're taking out R2 and stuff. Okay.
Yep.
IG-11.
Oh, he is cool. That he's also from the Skywalker films, but...
What?
Oh, no, IG-8 is.
Yeah.
IG-11's from Mando.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
They look the same, I don't know.
I mean, okay, they're both
IG-8. I'm being droidist.
This is true. You are being droidist. DJ Rex.
He does get the club pumping
he
at
does.
The cantina.
K2.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yep. Chopper.
War criminal, yep.
Yep, and BD-1.
BD-1.
Yep, from the games.
I love BD. I'm gonna give it to BD. I don't care. Go BD.
Do you know who I'd pick?
Probably K2.
I love K2. I'd probably pick DJ Rex.
Oh, really? Okay. Just because of Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love BD. And I have a Lego set of BD that I need to
yeah.
build.
Yeah.
No, he's very cool.
Yeah. And that's like, your Lego set of BD is a big one, but not like...
Not massive.
Not like your Millennium Falcon one
yeah.
or anything like that. Like, that would be a good, yeah. We were just talking about, like, how long it takes to build some of our bigger Lego sets. So, yeah. Most anticipated other Disney park to visit. Disneyland Paris, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Tokyo, or Disney World?
It has to be Tokyo.
Yeah, that's fair. I have a friend who's there right now.
The parks look... especially Tokyo Disney Sea,
yes.
Looks just
amazing,
next level. And the prices there, like the food and stuff, is quite reasonable.
Yeah.
But the videos I've been seeing of the lineups
are bad.
Terrify
oh.
me. Like they show it and it's like an hour before the gate opens. And like their version of the Esplanade is like. A football field just full of people.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, we're going to have to do some serious research before we go. And a lot of people in Canada right now are looking at both Paris and Tokyo as options for Disney travel. It is cheaper for the flight there and the park tickets and everything than it currently is to go to the States. And we'll get more so, I'm sure.
And plus you get the benefit of not having to go to the States.
Oh.
Hey. I feel well suited to that opinion right now.
Okay, all right. I won't even cut it out. But so my point is that it's going to be even more crowded is what I think, or what my concern is.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It looks terrifying. The lineups.
We're going to have to do some serious research and figure some stuff out.
And like the e-ticket rides are almost always like 2 hour plus.
Okay. Lineups. Well, one time I was at Disneyland and this was before FastPass and it was very like all the rides were like 2 hours. And you get used to it pretty quickly, but I think you have to go in with a plan.
My bones can't handle standing in line for 2 hours.
Especially being sleep deprived and jet lagged. But yes, I agree. It would be Tokyo for me too. Okay, our last two categories have to do with upcoming MCU property, like films.
Okay.
Best character from the Thunderbolts. Asterix. Mm-hmm. Bucky Barnes.
The asterix wins.
Yeah, okay.
It's the asterix. Yeah.
Bucky Barnes.
Uh-huh.
The Red Guardian. Yelena. The U.S. Agent. Or Ghost.
So, the five that are not going to immediately die.
Maybe.
As part of the actual
Maybe.
Team.
Maybe.
Right.
Didn't say that out loud.
So, what... What, how are we defining best? What's the rubric for this one? Because
gut reaction, when you're just like, that one's the one I want to keep seeing. That one's awesome.
I'm torn
between
Bucky and Yelena.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair. There are three that would be my top three.
And Red Guardian's just fun.
That's the other one.
David Harbour's cool. Your other two,
they were the throwaways. I'm not gonna lie.
Although I am looking forward to John Walker actually like interacting with the team.
Hope so, because I really don't like him.
No, I think it's gonna be good.
Yeah, I hope so. I really.
But it's gotta be Bucky, I guess, because he's been around.
Fair enough.
He's 140 years
old. He is.
He's been around a long time. And. You could see yourself sitting down and having a beer with him, and it'd be pretty fun.
I could see myself sitting down and having macaroni and cheese with Yelena.
Yeah.
That was from Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something.
All right. I get it. That's probably the right answer. Best Fantastic Four character, or rather best character from the upcoming Fantastic Four movie. Sue Storm, Mr. Fantastic, Johnny, Ben, or Galactus.
Ooh, you threw in Galactus.
I did,
because
I needed a five. And I know he's like this crazy villain, so.
He is interesting. I'm curious to see what they do with him in this movie and how it actually, because like it is an alternate universe, so whatever. My favorite Fantastic Four team member was always the Thing.
Yeah.
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 But they're all like Johnny Storm's cool.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's hot. But I'm very curious to see what Pedro does with Reed Richards.
Me too.
But yeah, no, that's the thing. I always like it's clobbering time.
Like,
always love that.
Yeah, and that's what you said. That was your one request. You want a really good. It's clobbering time.
Yeah, you got it. You got to nail that.
Yep. Okay, so that is 23. You did all 23.
Hooray.
Even
in, like, way quicker than the Oscars does
it. It's true. Way quicker.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, we're going to talk about the Academy Awards for Best Picture nominees.
All 10 of them.
So, do you want me to just, like, I'm just going to run through these.
Yep.
Amelia Perez.
We just watched that today.
I don't know what I was expecting, but this wasn't it. That doesn't mean I didn't like it, but I was just, like, surprised.
Yeah. I had heard some pieces of what the plot was, but I still would never have guessed in a million years what this movie was.
I agree.
Yeah.
I was very surprised the whole time.
I did. I kind of liked it.
I did too.
There was some, issues with the promotion of this film and some tweets, like a scandalous tweet or something.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that up.
Like, this used to be a front runner for winning everything. It had mm-hmm. the most nominations, and now it's going to win nothing, basically.
Oh, really? Because of that?
I guess. I don't know.
I'm going to have to look this up.
Took the wind out of its campaign. Like, because here's the thing about awards season. Mm-hmm. All this stuff is very political.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you campaign and who you know, and, like, it's democratic, but it's a very small
right.
pool, and, yeah, there's a lot of money involved, and...
I'm going to have to look up this scandalous tweet.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. There's some controversy or something. I don't even know the details, but...
yeah, because...
Kind of sunk it.
Okay. A Complete Unknown. This is the Bob Dylan movie.
One of the better musical biopics.
Yeah, I was not a fan of biopics.
I was not excited for this at all. I was like, oh, good, another musical biopic. But, I mean, that's what it was, but... old Timmy there acted as
oh man yeah
little face off and
that's true.
And it was good. Yeah,
it was
watchable.
Really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Conclave,
this one's really good.
It's so good
and timely because the Pope didn't do so well.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's still in the hospital or what, but
oh man, it was good though.
Very, very good.
Yeah, and everyone again acted their pants off. Robes? Their robes off.
Their robes off. Yeah, they weren't. They don't wear pants. They're not allowed.
Yeah. Nickel Boys.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. A gimmickly shot movie because there's entirely in first person.
Yeah.
An interesting way to adapt. I assume the book was also written in first person.
Yes. It's hard. So I had read the book before and you hadn't, and I said, I'm just really curious to hear what you think about it afterwards. So, yeah, it's written in first person, but it's done quite differently than the movie is.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would say it's the movie is more of a companion piece to the book.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I think it works better if you have read the book.
Yeah.
Than otherwise. But,
said I would really like to teach these in conjunction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Still Here. We just watched this.
Right.
This is our other foreign language film.
It was foreign.
Mm-hmm.
It took place in Rio.
Yep.
For most of it.
Yeah.
It was very long, which is kind of a theme this year.
Well,
most of them were over.
Most
of them were over 2 hours.
I liked it. I thought there was a little bit of weird pacing stuff, but I did like it.
It was an interesting story, but the last third could have been an email.
Okay. The Substance.
A very strange mm-hmm. film, something that you would not normally see nominated for Best Picture. The last time a horror movie was nominated for Best Picture, can you...
No, I'm assuming like forever ago.
Silence of the Lambs.
Okay, yeah. And that one won.
Yeah,
yeah.
It did.
Okay, because I knew that one was. I didn't know that was the last one.
I assume a very long time ago. I'm making an assumption. I didn't go through all the lists, but...
wow.
And it's well-deserved. Like,
it's so good.
It's a cool story. Very uncomfortable watch. It's not... I wouldn't say it's scary. It's just...
It's uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, the point. And
yeah.
I don't know. I liked the theme, and acting was great.
Man.
And
yeah.
I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. Dune Part 2. Yeah.
Beautifully shot.
Oh, yes.
The cinematography in both of the Dune movies is just unreal. I think it might win cinematography, which is probably too bad, because I'd like to have seen Nosferatu, which was, I think, snubbed.
I think
from
so,
a
too.
Lot of
yeah.
awards consideration.
Yeah, and that was amazing cinematography.
But Dune.
Yeah.
Oh,
really, no shade on Dune. Like, not
really, really, really good. Really good cinematography, and it's amazing that they were able to adapt Dune into two
mm-hmm.
pretty darn good movies. I didn't like Part 2 as much as Part 1.
I concur. Yeah. Wicked.
Wicked was pretty good.
I really liked it. It's not going to win. I really like
it. It's probably not going to win much of anything, actually, which will surprise some people that don't follow awards or anything.
Just because it was so popular.
Just popular? Yeah. Like, it's not even going to win song or anything. Because it's not original
It's not nominated for songs because there were no original ones. Yeah.
Which, anyway, like, your casual award watcher.
It might win, like, costume.
Yeah, it might.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I liked it more than I thought I was going to. So I'm not a big fan of the Broadway play.
Yeah,
so.
And it's pretty rare for you to like a film version more than the Broadway play. Mm. I loved it.
Mm.
I was hoping I'd like it. I like adore it. I like it more than the Broadway play. I absolutely adore it. It's so good.
Hopefully part two is good.
I hope so. Anora.
This was amazing. It's probably the favorite to win.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
Don't sit down and watch it with your parents, probably.
Or your kids, if you're the parent.
Or your kids.
Grandmother.
Grandma. The third grade teacher.
Anyone who clutches pearls.
There's a whole lot of nudity. Substance also had a whole lot of nudity, by the way.
That's true. That is true, yeah.
This had a whole lot of nudity and like graphic sex scenes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
but
drugs,
very
violence,
very well done.
It was so good.
Masterful dark comedy.
Yep. Because I literally laughed and cried in this movie.
Oh, I didn't cry.
Well, I did.
But I laughed almost so hard that I cried.
Yeah.
Because it's, dude, I don't know. It's just.
And I remember laughing at one point and being like, "This is insane."
Unhinged. Dark comedy that just works for me, so I don't know. And cool, good story. I don't know.
The Brutalist.
Is that the last one?
It is.
Okay, so we have to be here for 3.5 hours while we talk about The Brutalist.
Ugh, it just kept going.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I acknowledge why it was 3.5 hours, and Adrian Brody was incredible
amazing.
In it. And there was some really good shots in it. Like, it was very well shot, very artistic. It was kind of very old school Oscar bait.
I thought
film.
So. I was like, 10 years ago, this would have been a shoo-in.
Yeah. Yeah. And up until a month ago, it was after Emilia Perez took a nosedive. That's what came
really?
In.
Really?
For a while, but now I think it's between Anora and Conclave.
Those were my two favorites.
And those were my two favorites. So I'm happy with that. I'm not dreading who's going to win, because I would be kind of sad if Brutalist
Me too.
Won. It's just, it's good art, but I'm sorry, it's just boring.
It needs to be edited stronger.
But no,
it
but
needs
then,
to be shorter.
But then the art wouldn't work. Like,
I guess it's
part of the point. Like
I get it. I get it. I really liked it, but I was just like, it
I
needs
get the
to
movie,
be done
but
now.
It's not. I don't.
Yeah, no, I get. Adrian Brody deserves the Oscar for this movie, though.
And he's more than likely gonna win.
Yeah.
His second.
Oh yeah, that's true. Because he went for The Pianist, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he made out with Halle Berry on stage, remember?
Oh, yes.
Can't do that anymore,
no, don't
Adrian
do that.
Brody.
I we're reading Night in my grade 12 class right now, and they asked if we could watch The Pianist, and I said no, because we're watching Schindler's List, and that is too much. But that was interesting, that they had not only heard about it, but like were requesting.
And I believe I heard that he, when he won, he was the youngest to win Best Actor Oscar, and if Timmy wins for Complete Unknown, he would break that.
Oh, he would. That's actually kind of cool.
Apparently,
and he is the he's the runner-up, right?
He's Adrian Brody's won absolutely everything except the last award show, which was the Screen Actors Guild, which is usually a pretty good predictor of the Oscars, because the Screen Actors Guild has the most members. In the Academy, out of all the guilds and everything.
And Chalamet did amazing in A Complete Unknown as well. So that'll be interesting.
Who knows? Still a bit of a dark horse.
Yeah.
But he is the only other one that has a chance.
Okay. Which one do you think is going to win Best Picture?
It's kind of a secret. I have to put it down on my sheet okay. so I can beat you.
All right, fair enough. Which one do you think should win Best Picture? I'm going to ask you two questions about this. That's the first one.
If I was voting, who would I vote for? Is that what you're saying?
No. Well, yeah, sure. Because I'm going to also ask you what your favorite one is, and they're not necessarily be the same one.
Okay.
They might be the same one. I don't know.
No. If I was voting, I would probably vote Anora.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that is probably going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost want to put down Conclave on my sheet just as just insurance. In case,
yeah.
It is interesting that Conclave is even in the running. I wouldn't have guessed that because it's not nominated for Best Director.
Ooh. Very interesting. They have messed with that. Like, relatively more recently.
Anyway, and then for my favorite, I wouldn't vote for it for Best Picture, but I'm just so happy that it was in award season was The Substance.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise. I kind of expected you to say that. That's why I was like, it can be different ones. Yeah.
Yeah,
I get that totally.
Like, I don't think it deserves Best Picture.
No,
but it was my favorite of the nominees.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
What you enjoy might not be the best.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy that a movie like that actually got recognition.
Yes, I get
from
that. Yeah.
Awards. Which is very unusual.
Yes. I loved the movie Wicked. That was like the most fun. That was a whole spectacle. It is not going to win Best Picture, and it should not win Best Picture.
No.
For example.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to win a whole heck of
a lot. No, I don't think it is either. Unless something like costuming.
I'd like to see it win production design.
Yeah.
Those practical sets were...
amazing.
Very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Where a lot of these other ones with their production design... well, like Dune, mm-hmm. I think, is nominated. But that's a lot of CGI going on,
nah,
right?
I get what you're saying.
Actually, I'm Still Here had some pretty good production design.
It's true.
Like, the trying to go to 1970s Rio de Janeiro is just as hard as going to Oz, if not harder, actually.
Because
Oz can be weird.
Exactly. You can make Oz up, but you have to be like...
But like, no, the production design of that house that they were in I'm Still Here was really, really, really good.
Yeah. And they used that house. Like, that was...
Mm-hmm.
The house was important in that movie, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, the credits, like, just take place in it.
Yeah.
Anything else to add for the Oscars, other than congratulations, winners?
No, it's a pretty good year for the Oscars. Can we have a year without a 3.5-hour movie, though, next year, please?
Well, last year we had several. And also remember, last year there was a shoe-in for the winner for everything. Remember, we were like, Oppenheimer's going to win the whole thing?
That's true.
And it almost did. This year, I feel like it's going to be more mixed.
Yeah, they're...
which is interesting.
They're spreading out the love with the acting category. Like,
mm-hmm.
Because, like, your big categories are picture, director, and then the four acting categories.
Yeah.
Everything
else
is kind of... and then, like, writing,
writing
is, like,
would be the next
ones. B-tier.
Yeah.
And then everything else is
mm-hmm.
is lower.
Agreed.
It's going to be all over the place.
Yeah. Which is so rare, I think.
And, like, there's a solid chance you might split director and
picture,
which is only happened a handful of times.
So, I'm very interested about that. Like,
mm-hmm.
it'll be cool to see. And I'm looking forward to winning best guesses, most guesses.
Cool.
So, that's our show this week. Thank you, Elmule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. That's also where you can find a link to our social media accounts and our email. You can find Disney A episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't yet, please do. It only takes a few seconds, but it actually really helps. Next episode, we're probably going to talk about our trip.
Yay!
Yeah!
My feet still probably be hurting.
They will not. I mean, it's only been 2 weeks now. I can understand now. So I'm Krista.
Oh, that's me. I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney, eh?
Oh, geez, just terrible. Okay.